Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Bro, when it comes to Lane Kiffin's future, I think no matter what happens, he should be able to coach Ole Miss in the college football playoff. Welcome to the show, okay. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Like, Lane has become one of the biggest stories in college football. Now that we're done, I guess, arguing about the current rankings that came out on Tuesday, but Lane's the big topic. The private jet picking up his family. They already went on a tour of Gainesville, Baton Rouge. He's staying in Oxford, but the family's kind of scouting locations, if you will, on future employment. And he obviously has this big decision to make and all the dominoes that will fall in the coaching ranks after he makes this decision. But to me, you know, Ole Miss is in a position they haven't been in since, you know, 60, 70 years. I mean, since I think Andy Staples, our pal from On3, put it since segregation. I mean, we're going back really, really far here since Ole Miss has actually been in a position where they can win a college football national championship.
Right.
And I think that it's important for Lane to continue to coach this team, even if he is not there next season. And I know it's weird and it's unusual, but it seems a little odd to me that all of a sudden, because Lane and because the coaching search, he would potentially go to LSU and what, Joe Judge gets to come in and try to lead them to a national title? It just doesn't feel right.
Well, I mean, listen, if he quits, I mean, not if he quits, if they kick him out, you don't know what the committee's going to do. They could Florida State Ole Miss too. You don't want to risk that at all.
Interesting. Well, I didn't even think about that.
No. There's everybody's speculating, would the committee kill? I mean, I don't know if Ole Miss has another loss on their schedule, but generally they're worried that if they fire Kiffin, you know, I guess, is it called firing? If he leaves, it's kind of confusing.
No, he would be leaving. I think they'd be,
no, but they would say,
get fired.
They would say you're out. He's not going to leave. I think it's more likely the school says you can't coach, right? So they're,
yes,
firing in a sense, or whatever. Yeah, I guess they're saying you can't coach. Then the committee could turn around and say, well, if you don't have Kiffin and you have an interim coach, then maybe you shouldn't be here. That's been floated around. You're right, it probably wouldn't happen, but if I'm Ole Miss, I say Lane, stay on the sideline. I totally agree with you. Just to, you know, you don't want to blow this chance. Exactly how you said it. Like, you're not going to be here again.
Man, I did not think of it as like they'd get docked as far as being in an at-large bid, because they're going to have the resume to get in, right?
I mean, so, right, we know that doesn't mean a thing.
Well, but the other thing about that Florida State situation from a couple of years ago where they were undefeated, but they got snubbed out of the college football playoff. It was a 4-team playoff back then. It's a little different than 12. There's a little more room for moving around. And then the second thing, their quarterback also got hurt. The quarterback is fine. It's just the head coach would be different. I don't know if that means that they take an appreciable step backwards if the coordinators are there. And, you know, I joke Joe Judge because it makes the Giants fans around here mad. But he does have head coaching experience. Yeah. He could probably do this. Anyway.
Dan Walken is the guy who floated this and said other relevant factors can come into this. So the same dynamic as Florida State could be in play here. Ole Miss has one loss. They have a ways to fall here. If they lost to Mississippi State, then that's a different story. I don't think they're going to in the Egg Bowl, but if they did, then that actual fear is a real deal.
Sure. I mean, you're definitely right about that. But I guess here's my thing. This is really going to be a test of Lane Kiffin's, approval rating in Ole Miss. Because he's everything there right now with how he's at double-digit wins over the last three seasons. Clearly, he can navigate this era of college football in a really good way. But if you leave to go to another SEC school, does the fan base immediately turn on you? Do they even not, they don't want you coaching. Like, if you don't want to stay with us and if you're not going to be with us, then, you know, get out of here, pack your bags and go. I wonder how the fan base would react. Like, do they love Lane Kiffin so much and so unconditionally that he could spurn them and say, I'm taking the bigger paycheck, I'm going to the bigger program, and they'll still be fine with it?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, I would have to look short term. You know, yeah, big picture, of course you're mad at Lane Kiffin, but whatever, you're in the playoff, man. Just try anything you can. You have a chance to win the whole thing because there's a lot of parity out there. I would not think about the next 5 years. I would just compartmentalize. As a fan, I don't care. I would just say do whatever you can to be a factor in this year's playoff.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I mean, that's a lot of grace, is it not? To give a guy who's about to just dip on your program and who's had his family flying around the country while you're here in this, you know, fighting for your lives in the SEC?
Put a poll out, though. What would you want? I think most fans would be like, yeah, we're mad that you're leaving, but hey, give us a game plan here against whoever, Indiana. Yeah, like, I mean, Kiffin's actually a hands-on coach, too. He's not like a Matt Rhule walk-around guy. He's a big deal for this team. If he leaves, as you said, Joe Judge, I mean, that's a worst-case scenario. But generally, I think that their chances are greatly, greatly diminished. There is no way that they're going to rally. There's no interim coach bump in the college football playoff, right? So Lane Kiffin is a very big deal. I think most Ole Miss fans would be like, we hate you, but can you hang out for 3 weeks?
But we're going to need you. 888-710-4ISN. Before, we're talking about Steve Sarkisian having to defend his future at Texas that he actually, you know, wants to stay there. Brad's in Oregon. Brad, what do you think about Sark? Should he jump to the NFL now?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Maggie, you were right. These coaches, oh, I love the university I'm at. I'm not going anywhere. That's a kiss of death. Mm-hmm. I mean, a good deal comes along, they're out of there. And it's the same thing in the NFL. The owner turns around and said, no, my head coach is, I'm staying with. A few days later, oh, well, we had a mutual parting of the ways. It's just a kiss of death. But I want to get to the other thing is my favorite organization, the Cleveland Browns. We're talking about Sanders and how he looks against the Raiders. Everybody looks good against the Raiders, okay? Yeah, Perloff could look good against the Raiders. It doesn't matter who it is. But let's say Sanders finishes out the year and he looks good and he wins a couple of games. Then what's this organization going to do? Are you going to trade him then? But if you keep him, are you going to draft a quarterback? It's like I said before, this organization has got no clue of what they're doing out there.
And you know what, Brad? It's a great point. Solid call. Drop the mic. But here's the thing. Even when good things happen to the Browns, right? Even when the plan works, right? They tank, they get the number one pick, they take Baker Mayfield, they win a playoff game, and then they get him out of the building to take the shot on Deshaun Watson. Like, even when good things happen or when the air quotes plan works, it still doesn't work. They got the guy they wanted, Deshaun Watson. Now he can't stay healthy. He's got all those lawsuits hanging over him, the civil cases hanging over him. You know, like, even when they, in theory, Pearl, get what they want, the Browns still find the banana peel.
Yeah, kind of. That's true. By the way, the Raiders defense can be good in games. They kicked the crap out of Bo Nix. I don't remember if anyone noticed that. And they destroyed Cam Ward. I remember watching some of that game. So they do have Max Crosby. I think there's enough. I don't think the Raiders are just this walkover that you saw against the Cowboys. They've had really good games. And even lately, they've had good games. So this is not going to be a cakewalk because it's the Raiders. I disagree with Brad on that. Like, if I'm Kevin Stefanski, I have a very, very careful game plan. Because alone, we say, oh, there's just Max Crosby. Even that's enough to have really hit a rookie quarterback. So I would be very careful about this game. Because the Raiders defense can all of a sudden get hot. This is a dangerous spot for Shador. Please play conservatively, Shador. That's all I ask. Do not try and make a play every play.
Well, I mean, both teams are bad, right?
Like, yeah, both teams are bad.
These are two teams that both have two wins. Like, there's just nothing great here. You know, the Browns, like, the offense is so awful that even in a year when Myles Garrett will likely win Defensive Player of the Year, Pearl, on a 3-win team, like, have we ever even seen something like that? He would absolutely deserve it. He's playing so well. This might be the best he's ever played on a team that is destined for the maybe the top pick. Right now they're sitting at 3. And don't forget, so they've had the 3rd pick of the draft, and they also have Jacksonville's pick. Right now that would be 19th. So that's a pretty nice two pretty good spots there.
Right, but again, like the issue is what will Shador look like? Nobody cares about who wins this game. I mean, actually, both teams, as you described, would be better off losing. I just think that everyone's like, oh, it's the Raiders. They look bad against the Cowboys. This is not as simple a matchup as people are portraying at all. It was just 2 weeks ago the Raiders held the Broncos to 10 points, a 10-7 loss, and one of them, I think it was because of a black punt, too, that they got some of those points. So, yeah, this is... Any NFL team going against a 5th-round pick, a rookie, is a very dangerous spot. It's hard to be a rookie quarterback. People forget that. I think people thought Shador was going to go in there and look like he did at Colorado. Nobody does that. That is the exception. Jaden Daniels is such a wild exception. Cam Newton was an exception. It's so hard to figure out NFL football that you've never seen before.
Yeah, and I think Shador, it's even harder because at least those guys we were talking about, we knew they were going to be the starters. So they got all of training camp. They
that
got,
was, yeah, but,
you know, Jaden Daniels and Cam Newton. You're talking about the two guys who came in, no doubt, they were the starters, and they got everything. Shador is coming in as the 4th string, then 3rd string, then 2nd string, and at least now this week they're actually putting in a game plan that suits his strengths.
Right, but even 80% of the rookies who get all the starter reps in practice still struggle. Like, there's no way practice doesn't even really prepare you for an actual live game. I mean, Cam Ward is taking a while to get it going, and he's not even so bad. He's number 1 pick. He's got the lowest QBR in the entire NFL. It's really hard to succeed as a rookie. So I think people also have to remember that with Shador. The expectations, because of the name, are just a little high.
Yeah, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I think the expectations are high because of the name, but also because we watched him play at Colorado, and he didn't look like a 5th-round pick to a lot of us.
Right, but even if he went number 6 overall, he was still going to struggle, just because that's the rule. Rookie quarterbacks struggle, especially on that team. I mean, come on. There's nothing around him. Stefanski is... I don't know what Stefanski's doing. What happened to the coach of the year, Stefanski, either? Where's that guy? I don't see any good plays for Cleveland.
Well, do they have any good players?
Good question.
Good question, right? So I just wonder, like, is the coach on the hot seat? Is the general manager on the hot seat? Think of this horrible position that he's left his team in with this kind of quarterback class. Yeah. Take the quarterback room. If you even take Shador out of it, you basically left this team with Dylan Gabriel and Shador Sanders, and somewhere Bailey Zappi is in the background. Like, you claim that you want to develop these guys, but is this really the best way to do it? To have absolutely no one else in the quarterback room who can show them the way?
Are you sure the owner didn't say, hey, gut this season, we'll get our quarterback? You know, did the owner ask for a tank? Sure, the actions say he did. You know, they got rid of Flacco and Pickett. Somebody said, hey, it's not about this year. So maybe they made assurances to Kevin Stefanski. And by the way, the one thing about the GM... He had a great draft. You know, he got Mason Graham in the 1st round. It's awesome. And he got Carson Schwessinger, who might be first team all pro linebacker. So he's on a hot streak, believe it or not, which is funny. So what?
Except for what's the most important position on the field?
Well, no, but he was told we're going in for quarterback next year. I think he's doing what he was told there. I mean, listen, they didn't pay anything. They signed Joe Flacco, who's 40, Kenny Pickett, who's on the garbage heap, and a 3rd-round and 5th-round pick. It's not like...
No, they traded for Pickett. They wanted Pickett.
A 6th-round pick, yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, but I'm just saying they would get... They're basically the cheapest quarterback room in the entire NFL.
Right, because the Deshaun thing went so badly.
Right. They're still rebounding from that. So you're right, they didn't have a choice. But no coach is going to win with that quarterback room. I think the ownership might have said to Stefanski, hey... Listen, play out this year, and we're gonna give you a number 1 pick next year. It feels like a tank, right?
Yeah, but like you may have calculated wrong. But it might have been the wrong year for the tank.
Because of the quarterback, yeah,
exactly.
You never know.
Like you tanked before the 2018 season, and you had a great quarterback class. Now it ended up took a while for some of the guys, but this is going to be a couple Hall of Famers in this class with Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. Yeah. Obviously, Baker, you know, started off with winning a playoff game for the first time in Cleveland since the 90s.
Yeah,
Darnold now has at least stabilized, where he's a starter on a team that looks like maybe a Super Bowl contender. I know he's coming off of a bad game. this was a good class.
Well, nobody, first of all, no one knew Baker Mayfield was going to go number one. That was shocking.
It was a little stunning. But yeah, that's, I mean, only he was like a second round, you know?
Yeah, he was like a second round pick in mock drafts a month before. Everyone thought Josh Rosen was the man in that draft.
Yeah.
But I do think that if the Browns coming into the season probably thought, okay, you know, who does Jimmy Haslam love more than anyone? Peyton Manning. They probably thought they were tanking for Lenora Sellers or Arch Manning. I mean, you never know. And even next year's draft, everyone's like, oh, that's going to be a great draft. You never know on quarterbacks. Hey, maybe Ty Simpson's going to be great. Maybe Fernando Mendoza's going to be great. I think they probably told Stefanski, don't worry about it. Just try and develop these young guys, and we'll see what we have at the end of the year. Yeah, would you be shocked if they kept him?
No, I wouldn't be shocked if they kept him. But the Browns, to me, Ty Simpson, Fernando Mendoza, add them to the graveyard of Browns quarterbacks that are just going to fail. Like, you need such superhuman ability to even somewhat raise the floor for the Browns. I'm serious. It almost like it can't even be one person. There's no one person, mm-hmm, I think, that could even get them out of this. I think that if Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson had been Browns quarterbacks, they'd be in the dustbin of history. Seriously. And these guys have all the ability in the world, right? And they would not succeed.
Yeah, you could be right. Also, I think Jimmy Haslam would definitely, and I think he will make this call. I think he will call the Mannings and say, hey, if Arch wants to come out, we'll take him number one, two, or three overall. Definitely we'll try that.
Honestly,
I guarantee it.
What's even the point of being a Manning if you let any one of your progeny go to Cleveland?
Well,
I'm serious.
I mean,
you manipulated Eli Manning to not go to the Chargers, right, which looked like the freaking Steelers compared to the Browns. And you got him not to go to that franchise and to go to New York. If you let Arch go to Cleveland, everyone's asleep at the wheel at the Manning house.
I think, Maggie, to challenge your point about, you know, Mendoza and Simpson being dead man walking if they arrive in Cleveland, I think in some ways that's also been some of the problem with Cleveland, is that they've been looking for a savior really they should be looking to build a real football team, not just where is the quarterback going to come in and save us. How about we actually support the quarterback with a good running game, multiple receivers, a great offensive line, getting a real, I mean, I know Kevin Stefanski wasn't, you know, considered a good offensive play caller, but an offensive play caller can come in and change life. Because I think about with the Lions, they were looking for a savior this whole time. They thought they had it in Matthew Stafford, and Matthew Stafford was amazing, and they couldn't get any wins. They eventually had to make a trade to trade their franchise guy to get a guy who maybe wasn't as talented, but they supported him with a bunch of other guys, and then they found now a team that is competing for a Super Bowl. Your Buffalo Bills, when Josh Allen got drafted, they booed him. I mean, they drafted a guy who was not perfect. So we look at Simpson and Mendoza, and these guys may not be perfect products, but it's not really going to be just necessarily about the player. It's going to be about a lot of other things that are going to go around that guy.
So you're totally right about that. And the Penei Sewells and the Aiden Hutchinsons and these guys that certainly contributed. But I ask you, do you believe that this regime can do that? Because, you know, when you're talking about Buffalo or you're talking about Detroit, they brought in all new people. You know, it was Sean McDermott was in his second season when they drafted Josh Allen. I think Brandon Bean was in his first, because McDermott got there first before the GM. Dan Campbell came in. They had Brad Holmes. Like, they had to completely change it. This Cleveland brain trust, we've already seen them now for, what, 5-6 years?
But the counterpart, though, would be that they almost did it with Baker, and then they panicked.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that team
they went for the shiny object.
The team they had with Baker, like, they couldn't control Nick Chubb blowing up his knee. They couldn't control, you know, Kareem Hunt getting old. Like, they had a good team. But Baker got hurt. Other guys had issues, and the team fell apart. This team has built a solid offense and a solid overall group with a franchise quarterback before. They just got panicked when the guy got hurt and the fans turned on them, and then they went to Deshaun Watson, and now they've been trying to fix that mistake for the last 4 years, basically.
Yeah. Well, but by the way,
did do it, though.
I'm not sure Baker Mayfield's... I think they didn't think he had a ceiling that was Super Bowl, and I'm not sure that that's not wrong. I mean, I'm not sure Baker Mayfield's ever going to win a Super Bowl.
That's fine, but my point is, it wasn't like they were that far away. Like,
right,
they went to
but
Kansas City, they competed, they only lost by a touchdown. Like, this was not like this was a team that was light years away from regularly competing, and they did not have this, like, you know, John Elway figure coming in. Not that that's the wrong guy to use.
Yeah.
But they didn't have some guy coming in that was a savior that was going to just take over the team.
But they feel light years now.
But if they got,
like, they've gone backwards.
If they had Houston version of Deshaun Watson, they probably would be quite an elite team. I know that's not going to exist,
right.
But I think he was definitely, like, the highest of Deshaun Watson is way higher than the highest of Baker Mayfield to me. Like, that was what they're thinking. Like, Baker gets the playoffs, but is he gonna win the Super Bowl? And their logic makes sense. By the way, there was a lot of rumors that Haslam was going to bring in Peyton Manning to run the team when Manning retired because they are close friends. Why not give Peyton Manning the John Elway treatment? I know that's, you were talking about Elway, the player. Let Peyton run the team because him and Haslam are Tennessee buddies, and bring in Arch.
I got fooled with Tom Brady. And by the way, all of Peyton Manning's recommendations to EJ's Jets have been awful. Adam Gase, what was that?
I think that he's actually been trying to tank the Jets secretly.
I don't know why, though. He went back to Tennessee just so he didn't have to go there, was the story. Then he recommends Adam Gase. I mean, he is actively hurting the Jets, but
that's,
I don't know why.
That's a stupid question.
I don't get it. I mean, we beat him 41-0 in the playoff game. Is he still holding on to that?
That's a hell of a grudge.
He's gonna break down that touchdown.
It's like, what, 2002?
Oh, 2002? What am I thinking of? Different game. Anyway, this is like... I'm done on the I'm out on the awesome players going to the front office now. Like,
what
makes us think that you told me, what makes you think Tom Brady's going to be good at any of this? I said, well, you know, maybe he sees talent, this, that. Turns out he has had no good tangible impact on the Raiders. Why would Peyton Manning have an impact on the Browns?
Because someone's got to have the power to say no to Jimmy Haslam and his wife. That's another big issue with the Browns. So maybe, I don't know, just try something different, because whatever they're doing now ain't working. That's my only logic. Hey, it's totally different than the Andrew Berry, Sashi Brown, Paul De Podesta. Like, none of it is working. So maybe take a Hail Mary with Peyton Manning. And Peyton Manning, listen, he's very connected. He runs the Manning camp. Like, listen, it's not, there are worse hires than Peyton Manning.
I don't think Peyton would attach his brand to the Browns.
No, I mean, so in 2017, there were widespread reports that they were going to hire him to be, or offer him to be, the president of the team. And I think he said no thanks.
Yeah, because probably.
They are close friends by all reports.
Well, maybe
people keep saying that, but Peyton don't want to give his nephew to him. He don't want to work for him.
But how do you know he doesn't want to give his nephew to him?
Cleveland!
We talked about this on the show when it was like, oh, like Jimmy Haslam had to basically come out and say, hey, listen, guys, like Arch is not coming out from what we know. Remember that happened during training camp? Like, we all had to talk about this on the show. We were like, oh, they're clearly setting up a situation where Arch can come in and play for the Browns next year. And basically, you had to be the owner had to come out and say, hey, listen, I know Peyton's my friend, but we're hearing that Arch is not coming out. So he don't want, he's not sending his son, his nephew to the NFL. He don't want to work for him. I don't know how close these guys are.
Also, sometimes you don't want to work with your friends. Like, it would have made all the sense in the world that Matt Rhule would go to Penn State because the athletic director is his best friend, and instead they're not doing it. So I don't know if all that's cracked up to be. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Got a little Browns conversation in there with Shador Sanders starting against the Raiders on Sunday. Coming up next, oh gosh, one team that just thought they had their franchise quarterback could be looking for another one.
Okay.
Yeah, not Cleveland, someone else. Maggie and Perloff Show.
All right, Maggie, I know it's a very, very stressful night for you in the Gray household because your Buffalo Bills are playing. But if you want to have some fun, I think you should focus more on Prize Picks, because Prize Picks is where you can get paid for being right. And right now, you can keep the season rolling on Prize Picks by getting $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. It's so simple to use. You just pick two or more players across any sport, and there's a ton going on tonight. Pick more or less on their projections, and if you're right, you could win.
Okay, did you know that there is a quarterback for the Louisiana, the Raging Cajuns, named Lunch Winfield?
No.
Amazing. New favorite player. They play Arkansas State tonight. 176.5 passing yards. I'm going to go more than. And if you're talking about my fears for tonight, taking all my allegiances out of it, I'd probably go with Dalton Schultz over 38.5 receiving yards if I were to bet this game. Bills have trouble covering tight ends. That might be smart for you. Anyway, Prize Picks has become our obsession, so if you want to play along with us, come on in.
Is that his real name, Lunch?
I don't know if it's his real name, but that's awesome. Lunch Winfield. Let's go Raging Cajuns. Okay, download the Prize Picks app today. Use the code MMP. Get $50 bonus credit instant in lineups when you play $5. That's code MMP on Prize Picks. You get $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play $5. So win or lose, you'll get $50 bonus credit in lineups just for playing. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks. It is good to be right. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Mand P.
All right, this portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. Man, I hope everyone was listening to the last segment because we solved the Cleveland Browns. No, I'm just kidding.
We need like MIT physicists to solve the Browns.
They have. Like, they have half of the MIT staff is working in Cleveland. They couldn't figure it out. You know the Yogi Berra expression that it's hard to predict things, especially the future.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's very true, and it's even harder to predict what the Browns are going to do. So I honestly, you know why? I don't think they know what they're going to do. We were talking
well,
about...
Well, that's abundantly clear.
Yeah, right? Like, this could all change from week to week. You think the Cowboys are a week-to-week team. I think Jimmy Haslam and the Browns are a week-to-week team. So we're sitting here and trying to figure out the impact of Shedeur Sanders. It is, it's got like a circus vibe, right? Anything could happen here.
Kind of fitting that it's in Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, and we're talking about should Peyton Manning take over the team? Like, what are they going to do? There are no good ways out. Myles Garrett is there. He took the money. That was a mistake. But I got to tell you, I'm excited as all get out for this game. I'm so excited to see Shedeur play. I was excited to see him play in the preseason. Remember what a big deal that was?
Yeah, it was in our little world. But that's when we're all jonesing for football. Now he's going to have to compete against some other really good games on the slate this week.
Oh, my, our little world? Get out of here. Nobody, what games? Who cares? It's Shedeur. He's going to be, if they put that on Big Fox at 425 with Brady calling it, that would be the biggest game of the week.
I don't think that's going to happen. No, we got bigger games. We've got Steelers-Bears.
Oh,
can I introduce you to a little? How about Colts Chiefs? A lot on the line there, Pearl.
No, that's a big game. But Mason Rudolph versus the Bears, and the Bears figuring out a way to win. That's going to be ugly. There's a ton of big games. That Colts Chiefs is a big deal. But
Eagles
come on,
Cowboys, Shedeur. Nice little rivalry. Things going bad in Eagles land, which is always fun. Drama.
Shedeur Sanders. I counter with Shedeur. You know, okay, here's the question for you, Maggie.
Yeah.
You could watch one game this week, and you can't find out what happened in all the other games.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Games. You can't find out who won the Colts game, the Chiefs game. You can't find out.
No, I need to watch Colts Chiefs. That's my number one game I need to watch.
Okay, so you're going to come into work Monday and you're going to have no idea how Shedeur Sanders did. That wouldn't frustrate you?
Vikings, Packers? I mean, there are more games out there than just Shedeur.
Oh, man, I don't know. Yeah, I would want to know what Shedeur did.
What's that?
But for me, ESPN has more games than just Shador.
Yeah, well, again.
So you would come in Monday morning, everybody be talking at the water cooler about Shador Sanders, and you'd be like, what happened?
Yeah, well, considering we get here 5 hours before anyone arrives at a water cooler, it'd be something. Let's get to Bogish, who's got headlines. What's up?
Good morning again, guys. Your headlines are sponsored by Skechers. Watch the Skechers World Champions Cup this December 4th, 5th, and 7th on ESPN and ABC. All is right in Knicks land this morning. Jalen Brunson was back last night in Dallas, scoring 28 points after missing two games with that ankle scare. And they finally have a road win on their fifth try, but it wasn't without drama.
Lively the catch, the touch to Williams. He's on the drive. He got to the rim. Scoring! Oh, they're going to call an offensive foul!
Oh,
foul!
My goodness.
They called an offensive foul on Brandon Williams with 0.7 seconds remaining. JT Orr made the call. And I need to see a replay.
Well, we're going to
he hooked him. He absolutely hooked him. Got his left arm around the hip.
Was that really? Yeah, he did.
He did.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, poor Mavs radio. Your thoughts, Jason Kidd?
Tough call. You know, he had a good look. They called a foul.
They called a foul on Brandon Williams. It was legit, hooking his way around Landry Shamet.
Yeah, who bumped him right before the hook, by the way. Should have got the call there.
Minimal contact. No, that's not a foul.
Here's the question.
I don't know. That looked like a bump to
back,
me.
Minimal
has
contact.
Has Mike Breen ever given a double bang on an offensive foul?
Bang! Bang!
Which would just be hilarious. So yesterday, Kendrick Perkins called the Mavs the most embarrassing team in sports.
Well,
now they're shopping Anthony Davis, Pearl, and the firing of Nico Harrison, and Nico traded Luka, and all the dysfunction. He said they're the most dysfunctional and embarrassing in sports. And I didn't think about that for a second. I'm like, is he actually right? We were just talking about the Browns. They're pretty dysfunctional and embarrassing. The Jets, I think, might have a say.
Yes,
are you guys familiar with the Buffalo Sabres? They're not good at all either.
But they're kind of irrelevant. Like, for you have to be relevant, I think, and embarrassing, no?
The answer is no, I am not familiar with the Buffalo. I mean, I'm familiar with, I know it's a franchise. Why, are they doing bad?
Oh, they haven't been good since. I went to college, they stunk before I got there. I went to college, they stunk while I was there, and I've left, and they still stink.
Yeah, but the counter that, though, the Mavs have Cooper Flagg.
Not last night because he had an illness, but yes, you're right. I mean, they did get that kind of saved their bacon.
And they definitely should be shopping Anthony Davis, obviously. I don't know anyone who doesn't think that, except for maybe Kendrick.
I don't know. I'm like, is Florida Gators football more embarrassing? Like, I don't know what's LSU. Now things are kind of maybe looking up because they might get Lane Kiffin.
Penn State football?
Yeah. I mean,
Florida Gators football.
This is
John Sumrall from Tulane basically just said, I'm taking my name out of consideration. Like now coaches are saying no thanks to Florida. Is a report I read yesterday. Yeah. Anyway, I don't know.
Florida, I mean, obviously Florida is a known powerhouse in basketball.
Well, they've...
Slump buster
from last year.
Thank God.
I don't know. If you just had like water gun to your stomach, most embarrassing franchise in sports right now, go.
Championship.
Clippers, for sure.
Clippers?
Always the Clippers.
Yeah. I think this is a pro question, too. I wouldn't ever answer a college for this question, and I, you know, the Browns are pretty
up there, right?
Yeah, and again, the Jets, the Giants, there seems like there's a lot
Bengals.
Of them around here.
I think
Bengals.
The Bengals and the
Raiders are bad.
The Bengals and the Mavs have something interesting where these are two teams, and the Mavs even more so. They were just on the precipice of a championship.
Right.
Yeah.
And then now they're just a complete disaster. Like, that's probably where they're similar. And maybe for the Mavs, you want to make the case that they're the most embarrassing. You say, well, how do you go from being in the NBA Finals
with a superstar?
With a superstar who's young and in theory should be there for the next 15 years to you're trading Anthony Davis?
Selling low on Anthony Davis, who was the guy you got for your superstar.
It's like, how'd you get him? Why is he here? Where's Luka? And you're one of the worst teams in the NBA now? How did that happen so fast?
Yeah, the Bengals, you're right. I mean, Burrow now back at practice, as Bogus told us last hour. But the season's over.
Mm. I mean, all that being said, this could be a pretty sweet tank job by the Mavs. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not a...
They should tank.
I mean, this NBA draft looks pretty, pretty good. Yeah. I mean, they could end up in a great spot here.
They just got the number one overall pick.
Yeah, and then what if they got the number one this year, too? Oh, my God. Can you imagine that Kansas kid and Cooper Flagg together? That we're talking Kansas like the kid. New Thunder.
Yeah, I mean, to me, like, they have to pivot. Like, the pivot is a smart move. Now, it's going to be embarrassing to watch the tank happen. and watch like watching Klay Thompson limp around out there was just, it's sad watching.
Yeah, I forgot he was on the Mavericks for a split second.
Like, he's just, I mean, man, get ready to learn Peacock, buddy. Like, that's where you're going to be soon.
Oh, damn.
You mean the booth?
Yeah.
Get to Stanford?
Yeah.
His dad's a great broadcaster.
Udonis Haslam and Dirk Nowitzki.
Like. I don't know. Klay likes being on the boat. Yeah, I don't know if he's going to want to do all that
work. Oh, they
should
do a boat cam.
Oh, yeah.
Checking in.
Lots of water.
By the way, he's
Dallas,
doing fine.
Texas.
He's got Megan Thee Stallion. He's doing more
I was going to say, I don't feel bad for Klay Thompson.
I don't either. That dude is living the life.
But he's such a... He seems like such a good guy. He's been a great NBA player. I hate to see guys...
He's going to the Hall of Fame. He's fine.
Yeah, but he probably should have never left Golden State. I'm seeing him in this weird Dallas Maverick uniform last night, stinking it up. Yeah. And I'm like, this is not how Klay Thompson's career is supposed to end.
I kind of like... I feel like they're subtly just tripped into a full Sixers process. Like, they could luck into a really good team coming out
of this.
Seriously.
I agree.
Yeah. Because if they get... I mean, listen, they need a lot of lottery. You think the lottery's fixed, right? So they're not going to give them number one overall. But can you imagine, like, A.J. DeBanza or Darren Peterson and Cooper Flagg? Like, all of a sudden, you have two 20-year-old superstars on your team. I don't know. I don't think... You and I never thought Luka and that Mavs team was going to get over the top because the Thunder were coming up behind them really fast.
They beat the Thunder in the playoffs.
But they weren't going to beat the Thunder as the Thunder matured, though. I really believe that.
Can we just put up a poll question, or not a poll question, a Twitter question, but not poll results, just blank. Most embarrassing franchise in sports right now. Bogues, back to you.
The Knicks won this game. I don't think I mentioned that. 113-111. Mm-hmm. And they did so despite missing 30 threes and 16 free throws.
And 10 of them, like, in the final 30 seconds. It was awful. Continue.
Apparently, no team before in NBA history had won a game in regulation while missing that many of those shots.
You know what they say about my New York Knicks just breaking barriers.
Is that what they say?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Into the... Conference finals?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A top five men's college basketball showdown last night in Storrs, Connecticut. Third-ranked UConn didn't have starting center Tarace Reed, though, so they got out-rebounded by 20 and lost to fourth-ranked Arizona 71-67, which gave us this post-game from Dan Hurley.
We got punked. We punked out. It's going to be a bad film session coming out of here where there are people. There's a street fight going on in the paint. And, you know, men can't watch fights, you know, men, you can't stand on the outside, you know, when your buddies are in a fight, you know, you get in the fight, you don't stand on the periphery of the fight. And I think we see a lot of clips where guys were, you know, not in the fight.
So I can't play for Dan Hurley because I like to watch fights.
I don't want
to
be in that
I prefer fights.
Yeah. That Dan Hurley practice is going to be...
Practice today.
Also, it's going to be Mortal Kombat.
But think about Arizona. So they have already beaten Florida. They already beat UCLA. And now they just went to Storrs all the way across the country and beat UConn.
What did Bryce James do in that game yesterday? Is he playing?
No, he's redshirting probably.
Bummer.
Arizona's legit.
That's what
I'm
saying.
They got a lot of size... They got Koa Pete is one of the best freshmen. You want to talk about this freshman class that's coming in. They are a good team. Like, you know, shout out to their head coach. He used to be assistant at Gonzaga.
There it is.
Yeah. Found it.
Got a couple of fun matchups coming up, too. They play Auburn on December 6th and then Alabama on December 13th.
Got to shout out Tommy Lloyd.
I'm keeping an eye on the Arizona Wildcats, Pearl.
I'd love it. I'm in. Actually, nah, I don't know. I need another team.
Biggest bandwagon ever. I'm in.
Yeah. They've always been good my entire life, basically, and I've never really engaged with the Arizona Wildcats bandwagon.
You seem like a Miles Simon, Mike Bibby. Yeah.
No, for some reason that team did not capture my imagination.
Mike Bibby wearing the Nike foam posits didn't get you on that bandwagon?
They had a big kid... Remember they had a big left-handed kid, Michael Wright, I think his name was. Do you remember
that's
that guy?
Ironic.
Yeah, anyway, I played with him at Hoop City once. He destroyed me.
That's dope.
Yeah, I think he's a New Yorker. But I don't know. You remember that Miles Simon team? Like, that was not the easiest team to love. I don't remember that being a great band.
You remember those teams. That backcourt was awesome.
Yeah, I remember them being super cool.
They
that court
cool.
And Lute Olson in those uniforms.
Yeah, I don't know. But Arizona, because Lute Olson came from a background of... controversy. I never engaged with Arizona basketball. They're not a huge national brand, in my opinion, like Duke or some of these other, or North Carolina.
You didn't fall in love with Arizona during the Aaron Gordon days? How come?
No.
Wow.
No. But it's pretty far away from
Aaron
where
Gordon
I live.
Days, that was 1 year.
You guys know how I love bandwagon. Really? Listen, I have no problem with jumping on any bandwagon, but that one never did it. You ever been into Arizona Wildcats basketball?
I find that I pick them every year to win the tournament, and they never do. Mm.
I pick Izzo every year, and Michigan State go to the Final Four. That actually worked for a long time.
I'm looking at Mike Bibby in these phone posits, and I'm like, I don't know how Pearl didn't jump on the bandwagon. This guy was the coolest guy in college basketball.
Okay, that's where we're going to leave it, folks. Thanks so much. Coming up, okay, we got some new information about a certain quarterback injury, and the domino effects from this could be substantial. We'll get to that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win, and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Maggie and Perloff Show. Pearl, we have not talked about this yet, but it's pretty big news, and the fallout could be even bigger. And I'm talking about Michael Penix, the quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons, who's now having season-ending surgery on his knee. So we got that. He was on IR. But now the season's going to be over, so Kirk Cousins steps in. But that's not the point. And this season doesn't really matter.
No, they're done.
What I'm getting at is that with this draft class, the Michael Penix, you know, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels class from 2 years ago, teams are going to have a decision to make after the third year. That's the first time these guys are going to be eligible to get paid. This is also when you have to decide on the fifth-year option. There are decisions that get made with these young quarterbacks that come a lot faster than you may think. So for Penix and for the Falcons, they do not have a first-round draft pick this year because of a colossal mistake, in my opinion, to trade away their first-round pick to the Rams. So they may have to go into the market now for a quarterback, right? Like Cousins is going to be gone after this year. And so you're going to have Penix coming off of knee surgery. You don't have a first-round pick. So you're going to have to get some kind of meaningful backup if you feel like you are still trying to contend in the NFC South. Like, this is a very unenviable situation for the Falcons. For people who wanted to praise them for keeping Cousins and having Michael Penix, well, for now moving forward, it hasn't done anything for you in the short term, and it's not going to do anything for you in the long term either.
Yeah, and also the injury might keep him out of week one, 2026.
So, exactly. Right.
So can I introduce you to Joseph Raymond Flacco.
No, Flacco does the AFC. I don't think he does NFC teams.
He was an Eagle. Flacco said, actually, I saw this story recently, Flacco does want to start next year. So Flacco could be Flacco could be an option. That's what we're talking about. I don't think that the fifth year, you know, they have 5 years. Like Justin Fields, after the fourth year, they made a decision in Chicago. I mean, there's obviously no way they're re-signing Michael Penix after his third year. He's on his third ACL repair. That's not good. I would say he has zero chance of getting a $50 million contract after next year.
Listen,
so you're going to just wait till the fourth year. When does that fifth year option come into play? You'll see enough of him next year to know if he's even worth considering. He has no chance of getting that massive contract.
Okay, but you know how this works. Sometimes people feel like they need to double down on their decisions to keep their jobs. Like if I'm the GM in Atlanta, I'm hoping to God that Michael Penix works out. This is the plan, right? This is you decided to maybe overdraft him or whatever when you had Kirk Cousins already sitting there. And, you know, you got to hope this Penix thing works out. And sometimes I think GMs see what they want to see. This is what happened in Miami with Tua. They saw what they wanted to see. They were trying to save their jobs and say, look, we're right. This is why they gave him all that money. Same in Jacksonville. They were trying to say, hey, we were right about Trevor Lawrence. Nothing to see here. Let's give him $55 million. We'll all move on. Well, I don't know if that was the right move with both Tua and with Trevor.
Yeah, but even Tua and Trevor had much, much more proven success than Michael Penix. Also, I would assume at some point, I mean, the Falcons are going to move on a GM, right?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I would think that I'd be shocked if Terry Fontenot lasted the entire offseason. I mean, that it's looking bad.
But then you're getting rid of Raheem Morris also?
Probably.
And I mean, now you're back on the bench. So now yes. You've got two people coming in who had nothing to do with drafting Michael
Yeah, that's
Penix.
What I'm saying. Like, I don't think that there's any... I think in this situation, you probably wouldn't double down. Honestly,
so then Michael, you're looking for a franchise quarterback again.
Yeah, so you tank next year, whether you want to or not. Well, maybe not. Maybe you get Flacco in, and you do the same thing the Browns did. Take a puncher's chance with Joe Flacco or somebody like that. And then, yeah, you definitely tank. And then get in the DJ Lagway game. He'd fit nicely. He'd look cool in the Falcons uniform. Because unfortunately, Penix's health, we knew it coming in, and it's been a problem. I feel bad for the guy because I've loved him ever since Indiana, but 26 and on three ACLs, that ain't good.
I'm telling you, Shedeur Sanders is starting this weekend for the Raiders. He's auditioning, I think, for teams like the Falcons. I think he's auditioning for teams like Miami. I think he is auditioning for teams who could bring him in, who have these really dicey quarterback situations where you're not sure which way the wind's going to blow, who's staying, who's going. And I think that's a big deal. John's in California, wants to talk about rookie quarterbacks. Good morning, John.
How you doing today?
Best shape of our life.
Oh, good. I love your show. I love the yin and yang. I like everything about you guys. But I want to bring up Brock Purdy a few years back coming off the bench as a rookie to lead the 49ers to the playoffs. And I think that's a success story there. And I don't think it's not only just the physical part, it's the mental part. You know, he came off the bench ready to go in terms of adjustments and on the blitzes and the coverage. And I know you guys might throw in the Kyle Shanahan thing in terms of, you know, he makes quarterbacks successful, but I still think it's the mental part of the game. I think Purdy was ready for that. Mm. I don't know if Shedeur is ready for that.
John, interesting, right? We're all going to find out together, won't we? As far as the mental side, I don't worry about that with Shedeur Sanders, Pearl. You know, I think that he, by all accounts, locked in, playbook, you know, understood it. You couldn't tell that against what, you know, the second half against the Ravens, but everything was underwater at that point. I don't know. He seems like a guy who's able to compartmentalize, right? He's grown up in the spotlight. Seems like he's had a lot of pressure on him from a pretty young age. I'm not worried about the mental side, are you?
Yeah, definitely, because... What was it, Andrew Berry's line that he speaks English and has to learn Mandarin in the pros? So you just saw it at Colorado. It was a lot of freelancing. He was, you know, and his previous stop, he was the best player on the field. Like, he could do whatever he wanted. So he had to learn out of thin air how to run a pro offense. So in that sense, like, not, of course he's smart enough to do it. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I think there's a big adjustment. I don't know what, I think Brock Purdy... Did he run a spread at Iowa State? I don't know, but it does seem like certain quarterbacks pick up the pro rhythm really fast. Shedeur, according to the team, had a lot to learn. So I do feel like, yes, like it's hard, especially when you don't see live bullets. I do worry that Shedeur is not really ready to run an NFL offense yet. So it's that line by Berry. Maybe he was just saying, he's like, Shedeur is way far behind Dylan Gabriel. That's what they said it a million times. For some reason, Dylan Gabriel, because he played everywhere, probably was ahead.
Which is funny because everyone said, well, he's got Pat Shurmur as his offensive coordinator who was in the pros. It turns out that was all for nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Isn't that weird that the Shurmur was his OC and he doesn't know a pro-style offense?
Meanwhile, Brock Purdy also had something else really big going for him. Christian McCaffrey. It was a nice weapon to help out a rookie at that point. Coming up next, Megan Perloff's King of the Mountain.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.